Tardis, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Ruin on the Cascade is Aisha Green's first solo exhibition with Season Aotearoa. The title refers to a faux ruin in Stowe Gardens, a Georgian landscape garden in Buckinghamshire, established in the early 18th century by British Army officer and Whig politician Richard Temple, the first Viscount Cobham. Using the Stowe Gardens as a framework, Green explores a range of subjects, including class, land use, knowledge systems, ethics, national identity, and British imperialism through her painting and sculptural practice. I had a kōrero with Aisha about Ruin on the Cascade, her research and thinking behind the works, and her practice as a whole. This is your first solo exhibition with Season, and I wanted to start by asking you about the title of this exhibition, Ruin on the Cascade. The title refers to a faux ruin in Stowe Gardens, a Georgian landscape garden in Buckinghamshire, established in the early 18th century, and you've used the site to explore a range of subjects, including class, land use, knowledge systems, ethics, and national identity, and British imperialism. What about this site interested you and influenced this framework for which these works use to explore a range of subjects? Can you tell me a bit about that choice?
Well, I'm interested in the English landscape garden because it becomes a real symbol of English identity. And gardens kind of during this time were sort of used to talk about the landowner's kind of ideals. And Stowe Gardens is a really great example because Temple, whose garden was in his family and passed down through a few generations, they weren't exactly anti-monarchists, but they really were interested in like democracy and how that would work. But they couldn't kind of say that out loud in their sort of circles. And so they actually used the garden to talk about these kinds of things and to talk about different ways of thinking about how to run the country. And it's sort of like going through the garden, you get taken on this journey to think about their kinds of politics and what they were thinking. And so in a way, the kind of English landscape garden is the space where ideas are kind of acted out or they're kind of performed in a way, whereas you might not think about them in your or say these things out loud. You have this garden space to kind of put all your imaginings into the world. And that's sort of what I'm interested in, is like this English national identity and how it's imagined and how that plays out in the world.
So a lot of your work has explored the relationship between Māori and Pākehā. How do these ideas of English national identity and British imperialism within this site help us understand other ideas that underlie your practice?
Well, yeah, my practice is really interested in looking at the relationships between Māori and Pākehā and sort of what those relationships mean historically and how they're formed, and also what they mean today in terms of how we act in our country. And I was sort of drawn to the English garden to think about this idea of Englishness, to kind of trace back the history of English imperialism and to see how that formed and how that kind of manifested. And I think one of the things I learned going through England is that a lot of the tools that is used in English imperialism in terms of colonization, all of these things were practiced on the poor working class peasants first. So everything that we see done to Māori, we can actually already see done to the working classes in England. And I think that really struck me. And the English landscape garden is a good site for looking at that, as the people that owned these gardens, as they accumulated wealth, which was usually actually through the slave trade, they would sort of buy up or claim more and more land, which would actually remove entire villages. And so that became quite a point of looking at all of the things that we can see done or have happened or are happening in New Zealand that have been done before. So really, in a way, it's kind of looking at how do those things play out and how can we kind of contend with them or kind of not, I mean, so, I mean, the idea would be that you could like stop colonization, which I guess is like a decolonial kind of framework. But if we can go right back to the source and kind of unpack it from there.
And I guess with that, there's a really strong aspect of research and historiography that goes into this exhibition then. And you've said before that you map out paintings in relation to a why, and like that's quite central to your process, and you think about them in terms of where they sit and respond in terms of a larger history and knowledge. How much would you say then does research play a part in your practice?
The interesting thing about dealing with history painting is that I'm trying to kind of, I truly believe that you know, art can change the world. And sometimes it really doesn't feel like that. But all we have to do is kind of look back into history to see how art has changed the world. And I guess what I think about is all of the paintings that came out of New Zealand used as kinds of pieces of propaganda to get people to settle in New Zealand, those kinds of landscapes, but also like print media with all of the information about how to settle. And so like all of these tools that we use in art making have also been used in colonization for different ways. And that's kind of how I want to sort of access it or think about the practice, is that if painting can be used to colonize, how can it be used to kind of potentially push back against those sorts of colonial tactics, or to create a new kind of or different sort of history narrative, or maybe even different kinds of propaganda. And I think with the research aspect, it's sort of always important for me to make sure that the work is sitting in relation to that, and that it is sort of self-aware of itself. I think, you know, everyone's sort of doing their own kinds of forms of research in the studio, whether it's kind of like playing with paint or playing with form or playing with all these different types of things. I think for me, it's usually I'm thinking about like history, painting, and what I can contribute to, but also push against in terms of like, yeah, making historical narratives.
And moving on to, I guess, the paintings themselves in this exhibition, the works themselves. Central to this exhibition is a series of paintings depicting statues of the nine muses of Greek mythology at Stowe. What was your approach for depicting them?
Well, when I first came across them, because I mean, I'm not sure if I said, but I was lucky enough to go to Stowe Garden and potter around there and have a look around. And when I first came across them, they sort of emerged out of this, well, out of what felt like this huge bush or like all of these kinds of trees. And they were so imposing. And I found that quite amazing to walk through a garden and then to kind of be confronted with these muses, which are all the muses of creativity, and thinking about how they sit in relation to this larger garden and relation to kind of ideas. And also like these muses, they come from like Greek mythology, and it's interesting to have them in an English garden. And there's heaps of different types of Greek architecture that's inspired the garden that's all dotted throughout. And even that, I was like, it's so interesting that this sort of English, you know, this English landscape garden, which has been said to be the finest example of English landscape gardening, is just littered with other countries' things. And so even that kind of like drew me in to think about what even is English identity, if it's just an accumulation of all these other kinds of identities. And maybe that is something fair to say, is that English identity is based so much on its imperialism. So the muses kind of really summed up that thinking for me in terms of when I approached them and found them. I was like, okay, I think I can understand finally what this garden is about. And I think for me, that was the first access point into kind of developing the exhibition. And they were the works I kind of jumped off from to kind of keep thinking and keep making.
What really stood out to me with these works is scale. They're very large pieces of work, and it creates quite an interesting relationship between the viewer and the works themselves. Is there something to be said about your choice in presenting the muses in this way?
Well, I wanted them to definitely stand as individuals so that they're all on their own individual painting, as opposed to like one large group. Just because of the way that they were laid out in the garden is that they do feel very individualistic. So it's interesting to me that even though they're like a group of muses, they still kind of have their own things going on. But regards to kind of scale, I think I could say that maybe they are the actual size of the statues themselves. So there was this kind of relationship that they are the size that they're painted in the size that they exist in the world, but also about the kind of relationship to the body. So, you know, when people come in to view the show, your whole body has to experience the work in a way. I guess it's like with smaller paintings, you might be inclined to like walk up and to like look closer. Whereas with, you know, I like painting at scale because it really forces your whole body to be in relationship with the work. And there's something nice about the muses in that when I stand in front of them, there can be this kind of, not necessarily a mirror image, but there's a way of like looking at potentially yourself, especially that all the muses are kind of depicted as like women. And so there does become this idea of like, who are these people and like, what are they kind of doing and how can you put your body in relationship with them?
I think another one of my favorite works in this exhibition is The Lake, which depicts you asleep against a backdrop of the Octagon Lake at Stowe. What does including a self-portrait add to the exhibition and its themes? What kind of interests you about self-depiction?
I think a lot of the time I'm putting myself into images is because I'm using my body as kind of like a stand-in to think about what it means to be like a Māori woman. And so it was important to have a Māori woman included in this exhibition, thinking about the ways in which English imperialism, which is acted out in English landscape gardens, like has a like actual effect on me and my life and my family. And so it's sort of always important for me to kind of place Māori back into the kind of narrative or to make sure that they can become a part of the larger conversation. I think as well, I've always found it important to sort of like depict myself as a play against ideas of what Māori should be or should look like or how they should perform in terms of like artistically, but also in terms of what Māori should look like. There's kind of lots of obviously essentializing techniques that decide what is a good Māori and what is a bad Māori person and all of these kinds of things. But also in terms of like, I guess, well, what I mean by that is that when Māori are depicted in our national identity, there's certain ways that Māori are depicted, and those ways generally inform or enforce Pākehā's kind of wish image of who Māori are. And I think that my body can kind of push against that, which is why I include myself. With that painting, the lake, yeah, I think that was the last painting made for the show, and that was, I hadn't intended to actually include myself in it. But as the show kind of grew and I was making it, I was really thinking about how, while I'm talking about Stowe Garden, I'm also talking about this kind of performance, and there became this kind of theatre space and this kind of fantasy space. And I really thought there could be something about having me sleeping in a lake, which is physically kind of impossible. So it starts to enter this kind of fantasy realm, which is where I wanted to take English Landscape Garden, is to talk about it more as this like fantasized ideal of itself.
That was Aisha Green speaking to me about Ruin on the Cascade, her first solo exhibition at Season Aotearoa. You can go see Ruin on the Cascade at Season until the 7th of June.